Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. I hate this first idea, but first, if you're a new listener, take out your app, do me a favor, hit follow so you don't miss an episode of Daily Comedy News. All right, what do I hate so much? From the AV Club, you're never going to guess he wants to be Doctor Who. She is arguably a comedian. The AV Club says there have been 13 official doctors in the increasingly confusing world of Doctor Who. While there have been deviations in this form of spin-offs and specials, the Doctor role remains coveted, and when a new one makes their way through the TARDIS and onto TV screens, it's an event. With Jodie Whittaker, the current Doctor, and not a popular Doctor, by the way, but that's for the Doctor Who podcast to argue about, stepping down from the role next year, the hunt for a new Doctor is on. Who's it going to be? Well, if you ask Whoopi Goldberg, it should be Whoopi Goldberg. No, 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 no. Deep breath. No, 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 no. Like, no. Whoopi Goldberg told the crowd at the Edinburgh TV Festival, where she was named this year's international icon, that she wants the gig and has been interested in it for a while. Did I say the word no? Whoopi Goldberg said, I wanted to be Doctor Who, and I still do. I think it would mean an evolution into being American, and I don't know that that's correct for Doctor Who. I'll jump in here. It's not, Whoopi said, as much as I love it. I love watching it in all the iterations. But as Whoopi points out, this would be a significant change for the decidedly very English series. Yes. But is the world ready for an American doctor? I'll jump in. No. Whoopi isn't so sure, Whoopi said. There are certain things that are blatantly all English. Doctor Who is like that to me. It's very English, and it needs to stay that way. Yes. The person who should be Doctor Who is Matt Berry. You know Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows, Toast of London, The It Crowd. Matt Berry should be that person. I actually busted out in real life my Matt Berry impression the other day. My friend Sean found a memo from the 1990s in which a person who later in life would become both Sean's boss and my boss, but this guy had sent out a memo to thank everybody who had helped with a broadcast and referred to Sean as Sean, whose last name I did not catch. Sean sent me the memo. I immediately called him up and I was like, is this Sean, whose last name I did not catch? That's my Matt Berry impression for you. From FiercePharma.com, say it with me, your home for comedy news. Going to the gynecologist can be embarrassing, weird, and uncomfortable. But thanks to a new Centers for Disease Control and Prevention web series with comedian Amber Ruffin, it can also be funny and relatable. The six-video series, Under the Paper Gown, also stars Ruffin's sister Lacey, and takes the pair on a journey from being unable to fathom how to put on the gown to the importance of family history and finding the right doctor. The latest episode features Ruffin considering herself an expert and confident enough to encourage her sister to ask everything she needs to know about her routine appointment. The six webisodes can be found on the CDC's YouTube page, which is where most people get their comedy. Comments include, this is hilarious. Another comment, great reminder. A third comment, I love that you're doing this. And a fourth comment, I'm making my appointment now. The CDC is so pleased that it's planning to post the work on its main social media channels during September, which, as you know, is Gynecological Cancer Awareness Month. From NK News, Ricky Gervais has been widely... My dog is barking. Do you hear the dog? Shh, quiet dog. Today's actually the dog's birthday, so I'll be nice to the dog. 14. Ricky Gervais has been widely criticized for his over-reliance on cheap jokes about trans people, such as when he mocked and dead-named Caitlyn Jenner at the 2016 Golden Globes. Several comedians have challenged Ricky on his lazy anti-trans comedy, including Frankie Boyle and James Acaster. Now Nish Kumar has stepped into the ring. Fans recently shared an audio recording of Kumar laying into Ricky during a stand-up show. The star of BBC Two's The MASH Report pulled no punches. He slammed Gervais' routine as an effing piece of S before building up to the battle cry, F Ricky Gervais, F Ricky Gervais, which is kind of catchy. Say it with me. Whether you agree with the sentiment or not, it's catchy. F Ricky Gervais, F Ricky Gervais. It's got a good rhythm. Kumar said, what he's doing is not edgy or interesting. He seems to think that it makes him an edgy or interesting comedian. It's not. All he is, just the same as every other rich white dude comedian who gets too successful, runs out of ideas, and so just craps on the latest minority group. In the 1970s, that was my effing family. It's black and minority ethnic people. In the 80s, it was gay people. Trans people are just the latest to get it in the neck from comedians who can't be bothered to try their jobs anymore. I cannot stand there and watch another dog-esque comedian go, ooh, if a woman can identify as a man, maybe I'll identify as a chair. Why don't you identify as a good comedian, you hack MFers? Yikes. Nish Kumar took the time to destigmatize pronouns before tearing down one tired argument used to oppose trans rights. He said, there are a lot of people, most of them cisgendered heterosexual men, who say things like, ah, if you let trans women use women bathrooms, they'll do sex attacks. Now, there's a few problems with that. Firstly, to be fair, they don't say do sex attacks. Secondly, trans people are overwhelmingly the victim of sexual violence, more so than they are perpetrators of it by an unbelievable large amount. And thirdly, do you honestly think that if there's someone out there willing to commit a sex attack, if there's someone out there, regardless of the gender identity, who's done the logical gymnastics required to perpetrate the worst thing a human can do to another, do you think they're being put off by a sign on a door? How do I segue out of that? Justin McKinney talked to Central Maine. They asked him how he got into comedy. Justin said, it was just something I'd always wanted to try, but didn't know how to do it. When I was out there patrolling York County, Maine, I ended up doing rural patrol for the York County Sheriff's Office. I was just observing everything, writing jokes about my time as a cop in Maine. That's what led to my very first Tonight Show set with Jay Leno. It was all about being a cop in Maine. I know Justin. We worked together a little bit when I had Blue Collar Radio back at SiriusXM. He was part of the Blue Collar The Next Generation tour. That is a thing that actually happened that seems to have been erased from the internet. Bill Engvall hosted it. There were four comedians. Justin McKinney was one of Blue Collar The Next Generation. Justin talked about doing shows during the pandemic, saying, I've done my share of social distance, limited capacity shows where everyone in the audience had to wear a mask. I just did one, which is very difficult because when I'm doing jokes, especially ones about my wife, I can't tell if the women are laughing or if they're really upset with me because all I can see are their eyes. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. What's that? It's a daily podcast about the royal family. Let me quickly summarize. The Queen, everybody loves the Queen. Kate Middleton, everybody loves Kate. She's wonderful. William, yeah, he's cool. Harry and Meghan, don't bring up their name around the other people. Harry and Meghan rub people the wrong way. Anyway, I enjoy the gossip of it all. I compare it to season 19 of The Crown in real time. Like if The Crown, I know The Crown's going to wrap, but if they don't wrap, like season 17, 18, 19, the whole Oprah Winfrey thing, season 19 of The Crown is going to be amazing. So if you don't want to wait another 14 years until they finally make that, Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts. You're watching Ted Lasso, right? AV Club is. And they said Ted Lasso takes are a dime a dozen these days. Has the show lost its way? No, I'll jump in on that in a second. I know what was wrong with season two. Do we need a Christmas episode? Where's the conflict? Of course, while all those questions are answerable, one remains unanswered. Is Roy Kent CGI? The people on Ted Lasso Reddit think that maybe he is. They say Roy Kent is basically a Pixar character in terms of how his slight gestures can turn on the tears for millions around the world. But the AV Club says actor, writer, and comedian Brett Goldstein, who also has a podcast that's pretty good, check it out, is not a computer-generated creation. The conspiracy theory was brought to the wider internet by film critic Guy Zobley on Twitter. Posts on the topic only register a handful of upvotes, and that's putting it generously. Still, it's funny to read the words Roy Kent is CGI AF, and just watched, had to search, Roy Kent is definitely CGI, must have imported him straight from FIFA. Another person adjusted their Apple TV settings because they thought Roy Kent was CGI. The AV Club says, what were they adjusting? The bitrate? The language? Some Redditors find this conversation comforting, saying they use it to confirm their sanity and potentially save their marriage. One wrote, my wife thought I was crazy until she Googled it and found this thread. Thank God for this thread. Another said, my husband doesn't see it. I felt like I was going crazy. Every episode consists of me analyzing Roy, and I can't pay attention to anything else. His slow eye movements, his blinks, his odd body movements. They have to be CGI. How are we the only ones seeing this? So season two, I still love it. But like, I figured out when I recently watched two or three episodes back to back to back with the wife, she was like, I don't know. That's not how she sounds, but imagine she sounds like that. I don't really like it. And I'm like, here's what's wrong. Roy Kent's not in it enough. Roy Kent is the MVP of Ted Lasso. And in a lot of the early episodes in season two, Roy wasn't in it that much. When Roy's in it, the show clicks. When it's about like other stuff, like the owner's dating situation, it's kind of like, okay, can we just get back to something with a soccer ball? But basically, Roy Kent being nasty to people is the show. So if you're not feeling season two, and I get it, There was no way season two was going to live up to the hype of season one. But if you're not feeling it, just think to yourself, it's because Roy Kent's not in the scene. Is he CGI? I don't think so. From the Sydney Morning Herald, what do all 156 past and present cast members of American TV comedy institution SNL have in common? All right, there have been 156 cast members. What do they have in common? I'll give you 9 days to guess. You won't come up with it. The answer, of course, is that none have been Australian. Well, loose-limbed, rubber-faced Melbourne comedian and impersonator Elliot Loney reckons he can break our duck, which must be some sort of Australian slang. I'm all for breaking our duck, right? Through some old-fashioned showbiz hustle, he's managed to place an audition tape in front of the SNL producers. If they like what they see, he'll be flying to New York to break a leg in front of the show's founder, Lorne Michaels. Loney said, apparently Lorne deliberately doesn't laugh during the SNL audition. None of them do. They just sit there stony-faced. It would be such a big deal to be the first Aussie cast member. I feel like I have a lot of tools. If I put my heart and soul in stand-up, I could do well, but I think my bespoke set of skills suits SNL. Loney did his time at the Comics Lounge in North Melbourne, which led to the lucrative corporate circuit. He says, there's no higher high, and there's no lower low. The lowest low was a gig at an ACTU conference in front of the first female prime minister of Australia. It was about a 4,000-person room in Etihad Stadium, and I had to come in and do 10 minutes. I came out as Tony Abbott wielding this little fighter jet, and all I heard was cutlery and Julia Gillard staring daggers at me. Australian references. I made a Facebook status last October that said, anyone know anyone at SNL? It was a real cowboy move. I didn't get anywhere. I had a mate in L.A. coaching a few entourage-type operators, and he told them about me and put me in touch with an agent named Mike Abrams. He seemed like a straight-up dude. He explained the process and needed to send a video with 5 impersonations and 5 original characters. He told me, check out Will Ferrell's audition tape. Check out Jimmy Fallon's audition tape. The whole goal is to get a live audition. There's one SNL intake a year, and they only watch tapes after vetting the applicants. Well, remember what went down with, what was the dude's name, Shane something last year? I don't know how well they vet the applicants, we've learned. So Loney knows he's passed the first call in a few weeks' time. He might get the call and have to fly straight to New York for the live test. It's a cutthroat affair. Jim Carrey made the hot seat, but didn't make the cut. The day before Will Ferrell's time to shine, he had a meeting with Lorne Michaels. Ferrell told Lorne which characters he was doing, and Lorne said, yeah, I wouldn't do that one. So Ferrell had to stay up to 4 a.m. perfecting a new character. Looney says, for my impersonations, I did Conor McGregor, Rafa Nadal on guitar, David Attenborough talking to Bear Grylls, Matthew McConaughey, and Donald Trump. Someone told me Alec Baldwin's sick of doing Trump. I'm more than happy to take that off his hands. The original characters are where he will sink or swim. This is pretty interesting, isn't it? Loney has Robot Guy, who often finds himself used in sticky situations. Clint McDonald and Tyler, who's a redneck dad and his quarterback son, Tyler. He's as thick as 3 coats of paint on a Sunday, but boy, can he throw a football. Swedish tennis instructor for toddlers, Hans Silverman, and ESPN commentator, Axel Roberts. Axel has an uncontrollable appetite for food before going on air that leads to hiccups. There's a fair bit of comedy rooted in misfortune. I'm hoping Lorne or someone can recognize it. In a perfect world, I'd love to take a Will Ferrell-type career than a Chris Rock. I prefer to go into sitcoms and movies where I can play these ridiculous Sacha Baron Cohen characters. Hey man, I'm rooting for you. I hope you can break our duck, whatever that means. I should probably look that up before I find out I'm saying something very, very foul. Give me a second here. We don't have to wrap up the podcast. What else are you doing? Just listen to me type. Break our duck. Google asked, do you mean break your deck? No, but there is a video for how to break in a deck of cards. Not what I want at all. Oh, I typed in break our deck. That's why. Just try again. Break our duck. Break one's duck, from the Wiktionary. Break one's duck is a verb. It means to score one's first run in an innings in cricket. It's also a British idiom for to do something for the first time. I see. All right. Well, if you want to break your duck, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycommonnews. Break your duck for the first time. That's redundant, right? I said the same thing twice. Anyway, buymeacoffee.com/dailycommonnews. $5 in a tip jar. I'll get one of these Starbucks caramel salt things that I'm addicted to now, and they're so expensive, so I need your money. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycommonnews. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Break your duck. See you tomorrow.